Good morning, Harmony to Lake. How are you guys doing? You look beautiful. Feel free to, look at that. Feel free to stand and worship with us.
This is what we know. Mountain high, valley low, everywhere we go. We know that all our rest in your hands, all our rest in your hands, all our rest in your hands. We know that all our rest in your hands, all our rest in your hands, all our rest in your hands. This is what we do. Follow you, Jesus, who makes us good as new. This is where we stand. Unashamed, unafraid, trusting in your hand. We know that all our rest in your hands, all our rest in your hands, all our rest in your hands. We know that all our rest in your hands, all our rest in your hands, all our rest in your hands. So we enter your rest, safe and secure.
Love forever.
you how beautiful it is for us to see you guys here worshiping with us. You can sit down if you want. You can continue to stand and sing this next song with us. This is The Well. This song is The Well. We'll fix that.
Haunted by a ghost that lived in my
my shackles of all my failures, wondering how long is this gonna last. Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain, 'cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. Of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your hands, I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. 'Cause I am redeemed. You set me free.
So here we are together. It's a week after that festive, passionate celebration of Easter, Resurrection Sunday. Everyone's on a high. We're pumped up. We're ready for more. Bring it on, right? It's like we're on a fire for Jesus. We got this fire for Jesus passion balloon. And we just want to hold on to it and have it carry us forth in our lives. We want to take it right on. And it's not only just personally, but it's also collectively as this community of faith at Harmony and Toluca Lake. And we just want to take Jesus outside these walls. Am I right?
Yeah.
So now, but there are some, go, just get over there. There are some, though, that may look at that breath of Christ-filled balloon as one that's just full of hot air. And they just don't understand. And they may say to you, some may say to you, well, you know, why are you so excited? Why are you acting the fool for Jesus? And you see from their perspective, some of them, they may be thinking this of, you know what, you just need to get real. Face the facts. Life isn't all pretty roses and rainbow unicorns. Get your head out of the puffy clouds because the sky is falling. Don't you know that? Honestly, you know, we ourselves, we do think that sometimes the sky is falling, that we're filled with doubt, that the fear just takes over us, and then we have this moment. We know about the curtain that was in the temple, right? And there was this curtain when Jesus died, and the curtain represented the separation between us and God. But even when that curtain was torn, it didn't make all of a sudden the rest of human life all happily ever after, did it? We recognize that in our lives that Easter, well, it doesn't always come in 3 days. While the stone may be rolled away, sometimes we just stay in the tomb. And it's because there's numerous reasons around that. Sometimes we're just wiped out. Sometimes we're just tired and worn. We're just done. We may be at the wit's end emotionally, financially, physically, even spiritually. Sometimes we just feel like everything around us is just blowing up. We live afraid. And you see, we live in an age of high anxiety. Charlie Brown doesn't have the corner on that. Studies indicate that most individuals who are 40 and under live with moderate or significant levels of fear. That's what the studies show. We worry about the present, and we absolutely worry and are concerned about the future. And we have a myriad of concerns. You know, I'm just going to throw out a few, like the hammer over the head polarizing politics. It doesn't matter where you are on the spectrum. You're just tired. You're just tired. And it's not only with people out there. It's also with close friends and close family members. We deal with thoughts like health care. How can we afford health care when it just keeps going up, 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 up? Look at the racial divide. It certainly doesn't feel like we've progressed much as a human race since the days of Martin Luther King Jr. And we just marked on this past Wednesday, 50 years since his assassination. Hello. Watching the stock market trades? Well, that'll make you sicker than a muggle on the stomach-turning Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey ride at Universal Studios with those Dementors jumping out at you, right? But then, on the other hand, who can actually relate to stocks and bonds? Because you can barely even make ends meet. It's month to month, week to week. Hello, actors, day to day, right? We have so many universal fears and worries that is it any wonder that God provided the following instruction to us in the Holy Scripture? Do not be afraid. Four key words, not stated just once. This is stated over 100 times throughout the Bible. Do not be afraid. I'd say that's a message worth listening to, one that's well worth applying. So this morning, we begin delving into this next sermon series called Unafraid. It's based on a book that's written by Reverend Adam Hamilton. And today, it starts us down that walk along the fear-filled path into the seemingly dark woods of life, in which God follows up, very importantly, do not be afraid with, for I am with you, so that we can live in courage and in hope. So when reflecting on this sermon series, and I was talking with Rev Kathy about this, we were talking about this very powerful story in the Bible, and it's one that's relevant and it's applicable to our lives, and in particular about this subject of matter of fear, which is going to be our focus for the next few weeks. And so today I decided to change it up. I'm not going to read the exact scripture to you that's in the Bible like I usually do, or we have others, which I'm thankful for to do. But rather, I'm going to share my take on this story. And it comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. A lot of verses. So, and this is one that some of you may be familiar with. It's the Emmaus story. So here it goes. It's still Easter Sunday. And as a recap, we know that this was the day that Mary Magdalene and the two disciples, Peter and John, they had come to the tomb. It's empty. But then, it's not, now what? So Peter and John, they've got this bounty on their head, and they got to scoot. So they do, and they leave Mary Magdalene, and she's there, and then she sees the resurrected Christ, right? So now per his direction, she then goes off to tell the disciples and anyone who else is there, these followers, but, you know, everything's going down, and they are extremely afraid. And so then you have her words. She says, "I've seen the Christ. I've seen Jesus." And they're like, mm-hmm. Shockwaves. Shockwaves. Like, what? Right, but on top of that, what? It's unbelief. It's absolute unbelief. She's a woman. She's just making this stuff up. Right? Well, we're going to have a little tie into that at the end of this story. So, but continuing. We're now going to be, it's the same day, different locale. So two followers of Jesus are walking down the road, and they're heading to Emmaus. They're coming from the holy city of Jerusalem. This is where all this was going down. It's a 7-mile journey from Jerusalem, the holy city, over to Emmaus. And so these two travelers, you can imagine, they're followers of Jesus. Well, they're downtrodden. They're feeling helpless and hopeless. Things just didn't go well. This is awful. And so they're journeying down this road of broken dreams filled with fear. And then a stranger appears. The stranger appears and asks, "Why are you so worried? What's going on? Why are you so sad?" Well, you know, they respond. They tell him about everything that they know, what's been going on. And they say, they add this, "We had hoped that he," and that he is Jesus, "that, well, he was the one to redeem Israel." And then they share what Mary Magdalene had said, and the other, and there's other women in the gospel stories, and other women had said about this empty tomb, and that incredibly, Jesus is alive, not dead. Well, you know, they further share that they decided to join others and just check it out. Got to check this out. And indeed, they get there. Woo, the tomb is empty, but y'all know, no Jesus is around. So, got heavy hearts. And now there's nothing left for them to do. They're going to tuck tail and go home, and that's gone its way to Emmaus. They've packed their bags. And after the stranger has heard what they have to say, well, the stranger says, "You know, you're being awfully foolish. Because wasn't it necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Well, isn't that interesting? That engages them into some more conversation, a little deeper things, and it's a most excellent conversation. And so this well-informed stranger then talks to them about the prophets and about what Scripture has to say about the Messiah, and that it's not the ultimate defeat of God's purpose. Well, time flies by. Time flies by. They're now near the village of Emmaus. And although this man is a stranger, and this is going to now tie into what we were talking when E.L. had brought this up earlier about the invitation, the two strangers extend an invitation to share in a meal with them. It's here where they invite this intriguing, insightful stranger into their lives rather than letting him pass on into the night. So you see, this stranger, then humbly accepts, and wow, that's such a nice welcoming offer, hospitality here. So now all three are at the dinner table, ordinary meal in an ordinary house, and the stranger takes the ordinary bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to them. And it's in that very moment that their eyes are wide open to know and see that the risen Christ is actually before them. Oh, man, it's like they're now in warp speed. It's like, what? They realize life has now been won, that God's purposes has not defeated, and then Lord vanishes from their sight. Well, you know, we're going to move into this story now because it's going from isolation to community, because these two followers, what they just experienced, they can't hold that back. That's not just good news. That's great news. So they haul tail back to Jerusalem to find the disciples and anybody else who's still there. And what are they? Their hearts are renewed. You see, they can't hold this back. And so in their excitement, they tell them about the amazing experience and what has been known to them in the breaking of that bread. And in coming back, everyone, well, all the males who had earlier poo-pooed what the women had said about the empty tomb and the resurrected Christ, well, now it's the witness of those women. It's their witness about what it experienced in that empty tomb, their testimony. They're agreeing with them. Oh, my. Time to open up your ears and eyes, fellas, because women are leading the way. Let's give them some props. The once felt fear then in all this entire group, that fear that held them captive, has been released. It's gone. It's dissipated. And what has come into its place is courage. Now there's a willingness and a boldness to live unafraid. And it's then and it's there that the pilgrimage of faith and the new life has truly begun. Amen? That is a beautiful, inspiring story. And again, that's from Luke 24, 13 through 35. So as I mentioned earlier, all of us, we have fears. It's not just all spiders and snakes and cockroaches, right? But in reality, some of our fears are healthy when we sense and avoid danger. And some of our fears are misplaced, a little irrational, but then some of them are real, very real. And these fears can't just be dismissed easily or quickly. And in some instances, what happens is these fears become a debilitating struggle in which it's just we feel imprisoned, captive, that we're paralyzed. And that is not a good feeling at all. And as if we didn't already know it, I'm going to still say it, this is not simply an American phenomenon. It's universal. It tags along. It's persistent. It's always around, lurking about. Even a Harry Potter magical wand in your hand is not going to eliminate all the fear from our lives. Nevertheless, we do not have to be controlled by fear. Here's the good news. We can learn to address our fears. We can learn from them and even have it help us. Because here's the deal. When we expect to see the risen Christ in the midst of our fears, that expectation actually helps us gain courage. And that's important. And it's true, because then when we've got that courage, it still doesn't mean, the reality is, the fear is not going to necessarily go away just because you have courage. But if we press through that fear, expecting, knowing, and allowing God, for God is with us, that's when we live in a life of hope. Those four words, do not be afraid, they're most often included in the Bible. I think you may know this. It's in Scripture. Most often, it's about frightening or unnerving situations. You got examples of when Israel is being attacked by enemies. Do not be afraid. We have examples of when God is saying, I need you to have faith. Go out in faith. And it's in the craziest of situations. Do not be afraid. We have when people are experiencing the worst of life storms and all seems hopeless. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. And man, it's fascinating to see how God works in our lives. I love it, especially when the chips are down, especially when fear's on the rise, overwhelming us. I'm going to give you a perfect example. It's one that it's in the Bible, and it's part history, and I love this part because it provides us insight. This is the reason why I want to bring this particular story up, and it ties in to the starter sermon into our series. It goes back to 586 B.C., a long time ago. The Babylonian armies have destroyed, they've utterly destroyed Jerusalem, and the remaining surviving Israelites, who you know are terrified beyond their minds, they are now being relocated to Babylon. And that's for us, that's modern-day Iraq. So you have the power is now with the oppressive Babylonian Empire. That's where the power is. But even within the heaviness of this oppression, this is what God says. God says this to the Israelites. Do not fear, because I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. That's inspiring words, right? But you know that the feeling of these people had to be sitting there going, yeah, this is helpless. We're hopeless. There's no way this is ever going to happen for us to be able to return home. Who are we, this pitiful group of people, who are we to overtake the oppressive Babylonian Empire? No way, no how. And yet, God was with the Israelites, because several decades later, that supposedly invincible Babylonian Empire, guess what? It was conquered by Cyrus the Great of Persia and his armies. And it was quite unexpectedly. And what was also unexpected is that then Cyrus, he issues an edict, and he issues this and tells the Israelites, I want you to go back home. Return to your homeland. And on top of that, this is really crazy. He says, I'm going to financially support you to go back and rebuild Jerusalem and the temple that's relocated there. Wow. Talk about astounding. And only God could have orchestrated this. And that, my friends, that is indeed offers us insight into how God works into our lives. Because you see, were heavenly angels from upon high, were they sent to deliver the people? Did God's deliverance come right then, right now, the way we want it? I want it now. No and no. The insight is that God works deliberately and through people, even unexpectedly, like what happened with Persian kings. And sometimes it takes time for the right people, the right circumstances to align with God's purpose in our lives. Keith Thornton and Gus Vargas can tell you about that. I want to tie back today's message to the Emmaus story. And here's what the great United Methodist preacher Maxie Dunham wrote. I'm going to read this. We know where Emmaus is, don't we? We have been there in one way or another at some time in our lives. Emmaus is whatever we do or wherever we go to salvage and sort out our feelings, to summon the desire and courage to keep going on, to try and forget. Emmaus is whatever we do or wherever we go to reclaim our sanity when our world goes to pieces, when our ideals and dreams are violated and distorted, when we are afraid. And in that life story, in our own Emmaus, we have opportunities before us to renew us, to help us focus, to tend to our souls and our spirits, to deepen our compassionate connection to God, ourselves, and one another, and such as the Compassion Workshop that's being held on Wednesdays in Fellowship Hall at 7:30, led by Pastor Denise. And it's not too late to attend and participate, to reconnect, restore, and refill. We got to bring it, folks. We got to bring it. That's our concerns, our stresses, our worries, our anxieties. Bring it to God. Give it over to God in our prayers. But while we're also doing that, we give our thanks. Give thanks in all things. For as the Apostle Paul stated, when you do that, then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. So friends, no matter wherever the journey takes us on life, no matter what the road is on the way that we go to Emmaus, I need you to take hold of this, hold strong in this, that the Christ, Jesus, walks along beside you. Christ not only offers new life on the other side of the river, Jesus offers new life right here, right now, every day. And when we find ourselves on that road, brothers and sisters, in this age of high anxiety, in the midst of scary storms and jolting life quakes, let us offer and say the refrain that was from Isaiah 41:10 and know its truth and promise. I want us to lift these words up together with one voice. And then I want us to share the good news with everyone that we share, because these are words coming from our divine creator, and it's going to be up on the monitors. And let's say these words together. Do not fear, because I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Hallelujah and amen.
Good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures.